King and Maxwell, written by David Baldacci, read by Ron McLarty and Orla Cassidy. Chapter 1. 4,800 pounds. That was roughly how much the cargo in the crate weighed. It was offloaded from the tractor trailer by forklift and placed in the back of the smaller box truck. The rear door was closed and secured with two different locks, one a key, the other a combo. Each lock was rated to be tamper-proof. The reality was, given time, any lock could be beaten and any door broken through. The man climbed into the driver's seat of the truck, closed the door, locked it, started the engine, revved the motor, cranked the AC, and adjusted his seat. He had a long way to drive and not much time to get there. And it was hot as hell. Maybe hotter. Waves of visible heat shimmered, distorting the landscape. He didn't focus on that, because he might just start puking. He would have preferred an armed escort, perhaps an Abrams tank for good measure. But that was not in the budget or the mission plan. The ground was rocky, and in the distance, mountainous. The roads had more potholes than asphalt. He had guns and plenty of ammo, but he was only one man with only one trigger finger. He no longer wore the uniform. He had taken it off for the last time about an hour ago. He fingered his new clothes. They were worn and not overly clean. He pulled out his map and spread it out on the front seat as the tractor trailer pulled away. He was now alone in the middle of nowhere, in a country that was still largely entrenched in the 9th century. As he stared out the windshield at the imposing terrain, he briefly thought about how he had ended up here. Back then, it had seemed brave, even heroic. Right now, he felt like the world's biggest idiot for accepting a mission that held such a low chance of survival. The reality was he was here. He was alone. He had a job to do, and he had better get to it. And if he died, well, his mortal worries were over, and he would have at least one person to mourn him. In addition to the map, he had GPS. However, it was spotty out here, as though the satellites above didn't know there was actually a country down here that required folks getting from point A to point B. Hence the old-fashioned paper version on the front seat. He put the truck in drive and thought about what was in the crate. It was more than 2 tons of very special cargo. Without it, he was certainly a dead man. Even with it, he might be a dead man. But his odds were far better by having it. As he passed over the rough road, he calculated he had 20 hours hard driving ahead of him. There were no highways here. The pace would be plodding and bumpy, and there might even be folks shooting at him. There also would be people waiting for him at the end. The cargo would be transferred, and he would be transferred along with it. Communications had been made, promises given, alliances formed. Now it was just up to him to talk a good game and the others to keep their word. That had all sounded good in the endless meetings with people in shirts and ties and with their smartphones jangling nonstop. Out here alone, with nothing around him except the bleakest landscape one could imagine, it all sounded delusional. But he was still a soldier, so he soldiered on. He worked his way toward the mountains in the distance. He carried not one piece of personal information on him. Yet he did have papers that should allow him safe passage through the area. Should, not would. If he was stopped, he would have to talk his way out of it if the papers were deemed insufficient. If they asked to see what was in the truck, he had to refuse. If they insisted, he had a little metal box with a black matte finish. It had a switch on the side and one red button on top. When he engaged the switch and pushed down the button, everything would still